This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good afternoon, St. Louis. FM News Talk 97.1 DGS. Happy Monday. Gorgeous day out there.
Yeah.
Long day for us. It's been a long, weird day. Today's Earth Day, and our company, Intercom, is climate and ecology minded. We have this whole program about what one thing you're going to do today to make the planet a better place. So today, I think pretty much everybody who works for Intercom got together early morning, early for most people. And there are a bunch of parks around downtown, which I didn't even know were parks.
Yeah.
They're like one city block of green space, and some have statues, others just have trees. And
but they all have names.
They all have names.
All named little parks.
And so we all went out in force with trash bags and rubber gloves and little grabber things, and we cleaned it all up. And it was weird. It was weird. I mean, I overthink everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of what makes me. And I wish I could just go, well, that was good. I feel good about myself, and woo. But it was strange.
Yeah. What got to you?
Dave's like, there are some inconvenient truths that we have to face
kinda,
at this point.
Kinda, yeah. It was weird to me that I cleaned up the park where I walk around every day,
mm-hmm.
and I hadn't noticed how much litter there was mm-hmm. until I was picking it up. That was just kind of a weird thing. Like, oh, okay. And then when we finished ours, Rachel's group was in the park next to us. And it was really, really filthy, so we went over and helped them. And there were a bunch of homeless people who had obviously spent the night there, and one of them was a two-year-old baby.
Mm.
I don't know. Unless you're just different than me, there's no way that doesn't just get to you.
No.
And it was a weird dynamic. I don't know what I expected. I guess it really was exactly what I would expect. I didn't expect the people there who had obviously were sitting in the mess, whether it was their mess or not, I don't know. But I didn't expect them to be like, wow, you guys are the greatest people I've ever seen.
Right.
But it was just an odd dynamic. It was a weird way to start your day.
Yep.
Which is good, because I'm probably more sheltered than I should be. And even though I've been downtown for 30 years, it's just, that was a weird thing.
Well, it's one thing to walk past the park and see, oh, yeah, there's homeless people in there. Oh, it's kind of dirty. And then it's another thing to walk in with the task of trying to make it a little better.
Yeah, and spending a lot of time, spending an hour or two in there.
Yeah, and have the interaction with the people there where it's just like, we're obviously not here every day, and we're doing a thing. You know, it started my day off really weird. And I'm glad we did it. It's a wonderful thing to do. We should do it more often than Earth Day. But it also is just, you know what it reminds me of? You may get this analogy or not. When my dad was in the nursing home, and I would go to see him usually about once a week, and it was awful. It was just awful.
Mm-hmm.
And there are really nice nursing homes, and there are not so nice nursing homes. But at the end of the day, it's a nursing home. And my dad had Alzheimer's, and you would spend a half hour, an hour just talking to him about nothing because he didn't know who you were, and then you'd leave. And as I drove away from that place, every single time, my thought was, he is still there. You should go get him. You should go get him and take him home, which I knew I couldn't because we'd already been through that. But it was just weird. Like, I'm driving away, and every mile I drive is a mile away from him, but he's still there.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have dinner there tonight. He's going to have a shower in the morning. He's going to have breakfast there tomorrow. He doesn't know who he is. It was awful. And today was a little bit like that. Like, there's a two-year-old baby sleeping in a park. Like, what the F? What is going on? But it's not my business. I can't say like, hey, lady, what are you doing with a 2-year-old baby?
Right.
Can I help you? What, you know, I don't know. I take everything. I overthink them.
No, I think that's good. I think it's good to have that level of understanding and realization of what's happening.
Yeah.
Right outside the
literally
window.
Out the window. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, much like my dad, it's like, okay, a part of my day today was to go pick up trash in a park. Tonight, that lady's going to be there sleeping with her baby again.
Yeah.
And you just go, okay, heading home. Think I'll have a glass of wine. Maybe I'm going to watch how the universe works. It's just nuts to me.
Mm-hmm.
Just crazy. How did...
Yeah, I mean, I feel similarly. We kind of joked about it last week whenever we found out the parks we were cleaning, like, oh, haha, there's going to be people down there like there always is. And then you show up, especially the one I was at where everybody was congregated, and it was like, oh, yeah, this is real. And now I'm going to clean up your home, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it makes you really sad to think about. I definitely understand where you're coming from. Whenever I was a kid, like we joke about how I watched Little House on the Prairie, but that was on Channel 24. Larry Rice's station. So it was very much homelessness in your face all the time. And I had a very soft heart about that. And it would really, really bother me. And I try to not dwell on how negative it is. I try to channel it into how grateful I am for my life. And even though you feel weird about it, at least you went down there and I saw you have nice interactions with people and be very kind, which makes me respect you even more. So I know that you're probably dealing with guilt and weirdness, but you did a small thing today that was good.
Well, I mean, you were there when I reached my pocket.
Yeah.
And Rach was like, take it easy.
Well, if you don't, there's a bunch of people. If you don't have enough money for everyone, then you're kind of creating a ripple effect that we don't know how that's going to work out. If you give somebody $20 and somebody nothing, you might have just ruined a relationship somehow.
Or starting to fight.
Exactly. So I mean, I really had to talk him down from just going and handing things out to people, which maybe was the wrong thing to do, but it felt like the right thing to do. Just, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm straight up going to go home and cry for real.
Right.
Like there is one point, and this is like 9 a.m. So it's a beautiful day. It couldn't be more perfect. It's 70 degrees at 9 in the morning, day after Easter. It's so gorgeous, and we're all out there, and everyone's wearing casual clothes and yucking it up and drinking coffee. And then after about 45 minutes of like, oh, okay, me and this other guy, who I don't know, a young kid, were over around these big bushes, big giant bushes, and there's a whole bunch of trash inside. And being a young kid, he had crawled in there and started pulling trash out. And there were like 5 or 6 pizza boxes all laying there. And a guy came up to us and he's like, hey, that's my bed. He's like, that's where I live. And I'm pretty good at off the cuff.
Right.
And I was like, oh, no problem, brother. Anything else we can do for you? And I walked away. I just want to throw up.
Mm-hmm.
He lives in the friggin' bush.
What do you do with that?
What do you do with that? Anyway, happy Earth Day.
yeah. That's what we took all away from this, is this issue of homelessness. And the reason we were out there was Earth Day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which the two don't necessarily jive, but that was more in our face than the trash on the ground.
And there's like a survivor's guilt. You know, the fact when I would leave my dad in the nursing home, I felt terrible. Like, I should just go get a room there, too.
Right.
And when I drive home to my nice home tonight, I'll feel terrible. And there are people who deal with this every day, positively and negatively. The cops deal with it every day. Obviously, the people who live on the streets deal with it every day.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm fortunate enough and blessed enough that I don't have to, which makes me feel guilty. It's really weird.
Yep.
There's so many things like that that you just, you're able just to walk past it, and then you're in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm. What can you do?
I wish I knew.
Right?
I really do. I would have written a pretty big check today.
Yeah.
Had I felt like it would make a really, really bad. I remember when I was super, super broke and poor through my own dumbassery. And I remember thinking, if there was someone who could give me $10,000, it would change my life.
Yeah.
And there are people.
Yeah.
And now I'm one of those people.
Yep.
But would it?
There are some people maybe out there, $10,000 would put them back on track and they'd be all right. But unfortunately, many of them, $10,000 would just start a vicious cycle and they'd be right back where they
were. Then I feel like that's just something we tell ourselves, or I tell myself, to not write a check for $10,000.
Well, no, I think I do agree with Tony. I think it would help a lot of people, but you're doing something that I see you do a lot, which is you're taking, I feel bad because it's like you're taking on those people's problems. There's really nothing you can do to help them.
And you're applying how you would.
Exactly.
You're applying how you would take that money or that help and what you would do with
it. All you can
you don't know what they're going to, you don't know what they would do with it.
All you can really do.
Some of them would do the right thing.
Is do what you're already doing, which is be sensitive to it, be kind, which you were very kind, and you're open to it. You're not turning a blind eye and saying like, oh, it's all their fault. You're being a good person about it, but it's not your problem to solve. It's just not. There are resources. It is very sad when you see a baby out there. It really messes with you. But there are resources that the baby's parents could take advantage of. And choices are being made. I'm not saying, oh, it's their fault. I have no idea what it's like to be in that situation. But Dave Glover isn't the solution to it. There are organizations all over the city designed to help people. So,
and I would, if I had my two-year-old out there, and we wouldn't sleep in the park. We would find the shelter. I wouldn't stop walking until I found the shelter or wherever I needed to go to help. So at some point, somebody made a decision to sleep in the park. And I mean, it's just, there's so many reasons. There's so many different reasons for that, for the people that are in that situation. Some of them have less, some of them got dealt a bad hand. And they're in a situation that they didn't completely create. And I think that those people would, if, you know, with an opportunity, might be, would get themselves back on their feet. But unfortunately, there's others that wouldn't help. And how do you know, looking at a group of 20 of them, who's the right one to help? Who are you to make that decision? It's just crazy. It's a lot.
Acknowledging that we don't know the backstories, do you feel like the government, whether it's the police or DFS or someone, should be cruising the streets? And if there is a two-year-old waking up at 8:30 in the morning on a park bench, should do something? Or do you feel like...
I think they should be telling them where to go.
Yeah.
Like, we're very close.
And they probably know, right?
St. Patrick's Center. Yeah. Oh, I'm sure they know.
Yeah.
And how many times have we heard from our friends at St. Patrick's Center who deal with this every day, that are trained to deal with this, that say, don't give them a bunch of money. You send them here. We'll take care of them.
We
know how to talk to these. We know what they're going through, and we know how to help them. But they need to get here so we can help them.
Well, we talked a lot this past winter, whenever it was so cold, about wanting to get, because the homelessness problem around where we work is bad, about wanting to get involved and help. And I think this is just another step in that direction to the show doing something, because we're not doing anything right now. So
yeah, we should figure something out. Even if it's something small.
Yeah.
You know, because there's a difference. Sure. And there really is a difference between, oh my God, something has gone terribly wrong for Dave Glover, and it's my first night living in a park, I don't know what to do, and this is my life. And you can tell, because we see the same people day in and day out for months and sometimes years, this is their life. And I'm sure it's not what they planned on, but clearly it's what they've accepted and it's what they're doing every day. And so it's like there's multiple layers. Like there are the people who are just like, oh my God, what can I do for you right now? Like the guy we saw, Rach, last year who just was eating our pancakes, made us both cry. And then there's grifters. Like, I don't want to work. This is easier. Yeah. This is easier than supporting myself with a job. And then they're like the lifers. But man, 2-year-old baby should not wake up in a park.
No.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
3:30 DGS, happy Monday. So I had other adventures today.
Let's hear them.
Walk down to the arch, and this could be the dumbest thing I ever say, but if I think it, other people think it. Do the legs of the arch, whether it's metal or concrete or whatever, is it sunken down into the ground for a while?
Way down.
Way down?
Way down.
Because I looked at it today and I'm like, is this bitch just welded to the front? And
no, they go way into the ground.
I think the arch was built the same year I was. So in 1964, 1965.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
They had a really good idea it wouldn't fall down. They didn't know. Am I right?
I mean, somebody did the math, but they didn't know.
Yeah,
but you don't know.
There's no way to test the math.
I mean, bigger, more expensive things than that have fallen down. And it just blows me away to be standing under it and go, in 1965, when they put that final piece in, I bet they're all like, this thing could go so bad so fast.
Now, don't touch it, but it's done.
Don't lean on it. So it goes down deep.
It goes down deep. I can't remember how deep. Something in my mind is telling me that it goes.
It'd be cool if there was like a mirror image of the arch all the way underneath.
That'd be awesome.
I'm trying to remember like some tour or something that I took some time that says it. They go half as deep as it goes high, but I can't. That's not. I'm sure that's wrong.
It is really cool.
Yeah, I always forget how cool it is until I'm down there.
It's so cool. And then we're talking about cleaning up the parks. We were not allowed to clean up like City Garden because they had an Easter egg hunt there. And so I was walking back through and sat down, and there was this woman whose job it was to use a rake to rake up hundreds, if not thousands, of little plastic eggs. And it was clear that she was just starting. And so she pulls this rake out, gets off her little golf cart. Thousands of these plastic eggs. Looks like it's her job to rake them up. And this woman walks up, like this kind of office cattle woman, and she has an egg in her hand, Tones, and she goes, excuse me, you seem like the right person to ask. I found this over there across the street, and this woman is raking up hundreds of these little plastic eggs. And she's like, yeah. And she goes, so, and swear to God, that's what she says, where should I stick this? And I'm like,
I've got an idea.
If ever God teed up a response to that.
No kidding.
And she goes,
I can't believe she
And
didn't
she's just
say
putting
it.
Them all like in this barrel. And she just points to the barrel like, that would work. Like, oh, hold on. Let me get out a
she's
form.
She's blaming.
So that's a blue egg? Hold on.
Let me get out a form that you can fill out. Or it's like, oh my God, what a hero. I would have never found this egg.
It would have been awesome if she was like, you need to take that down to Hooters.
I just couldn't.
Let me see the serial number.
What is happening?
Well, she's blaming that person. She's like, oh, you see, your mess has made it over here. Give me a break.
Where do I stick this?
Where do I stick this?
I'll show you. It has to be good. Here's another thing, too. Watching families down at the Arch, I guess a lot of kids are off today.
Mm-hmm.
I was as big an 8-year-old jackass and a 14-year-old jackass as you get, but I did not subject the public to my jackassery because Jack Glover would have literally thumped me in the head.
Mm-hmm.
And watching it on full display today, it's like, I'm not a killjoy. I'm not a prude. You're at the Arch, run around, have a good time.
He wasn't going to let you show your ass.
My ass.
Right?
Right? And that was a thing. Like, that's been a big difference. I definitely subjected my family and my friends to my jackassery. And I'm sure I annoyed them because I've always been like this. But I minded my P's and Q's in public. God, I sound old.
Well, I will say, though, whenever you run into the rare, well-behaved child, it's a treat. Like, I notice it, too, and I'm in my 20s. But if a kid's good, good children, I think, used to be the standard, and now they're a unicorn. Like, oh, they're so quiet and respectful. But
yeah, it shouldn't stand out that
yeah,
much.
It seems like everybody's yelling and doing their Fortnites and everything. I don't know.
Here's another thing. Nick and I went over to visit my mom yesterday, and driving back, you can kind of glimpse Monk's Mound, the biggest mound from the Cahokia Mounds, through the trees when you're like on 111. And we don't appreciate Cahokia Mounds because most of us grew up here. Maybe you go on like a field trip or something. Mm-hmm. But globally, it's a big friggin' deal.
Right.
Like archaeologists from Europe, it'd be a dream trip to come see the Cahokia Mounds.
Right.
Why
do we not care?
I guess just because the same way, like today, you don't notice the Arch until you're there and you're like, oh, that is pretty cool. But what I don't like is if you are standing next to Monk's Mound, you can see at least 3 of those gigantic trash mounds that are 10 times bigger.
Yeah.
And it just, I don't want to get in the way of progress. And I don't want to put the trash in my backyard, but it just feels wrong that we're Mound City. We have these amazing, it'd be like if you built pyramids 10 times the size of Giza out of trash.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. It just feels wrong.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I would take Phoebe to see Monk's Mound now because she'd be like, well, why don't we go look at that one?
Yeah.
Let's go look at the big one. That's more impressive.
Right.
And like 1,000 years from now, when aliens come down and they're like excavating with lasers and they're like, oh, look at this. At some point, they stopped building their mounds out of dirt and built them with diapers and condoms.
Right.
That's a weird decision.
I guess use what you got. Yeah, it's true.
I'm awful of existential angst today.
You are.
You know who else I'm mad at? Nicolas Cage's soon-to-be ex-wife.
What's her problem?
Earth Day's really rattled your cage.
Really did. It really did. I think
okay, I'm telling you an inconvenient truth.
I think Nicolas Cage is insane.
Yeah.
And he gets everything that's coming to him because when you get drunk and marry someone in Vegas and blah, 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 but he filed for his annulment 4 days after their marriage and his wife is saying, I'll give you the divorce, but I want alimony. Four days.
Wait, he filed for divorce or annulment?
An annulment. Because he said I was way too drunk to appreciate what I was doing.
Yeah.
The minister has said, he didn't seem drunk to me.
Legally, does she deserve anything?
I can't imagine so.
Would you represent her? Would you say we can get money from this guy?
I mean, ethically, no. But she probably will.
Yeah. It's so wrong.
Didn't Britney pay off her little boyfriend?
I think so. I think the guy she was married to for like 72 hours. But I can't imagine she's still making alimony payments.
Yeah. Susan Ward was talking about this the other day. I think it's a violation of the equal protection. I really do.
Right.
I don't think that the fact that you're married to someone outside of really, really rare exigent circumstances, like, wait a second, let me tell you my story. But I don't think being married to someone, if I got divorced and married a billionaire, and we're married for 10 years. And then she says, tired of you. I'm going to divorce you. I've been riding the gravy train. Mm-hmm. I've had 10 really good years of living like a billionaire.
Right.
I don't see where she owes me any money.
Yeah, why?
Any? I don't think any.
Wow.
Well, why really, is that really the one situation where, since you've been accustomed to the lifestyle, you should be able to keep living it?
It's the only one.
Well, if you had an amazing job and then were fired, should I be able to say to the company, well, I've gotten accustomed to this lifestyle. Yeah. I'd like to keep living this way.
I'm really used to this.
The funny thing is, too, is for years and years, women have been the ones benefiting off of this. But now we're seeing a trend where a lot of women are making more money than their husbands.
Yeah.
And then when the divorce happens, the women are mad that they have to pay their husband's alimony. And it's like, well, maybe this has been a flawed system all along and we should re-examine this. But just because you're female or just because you're male doesn't mean you should be paid out a certain amount. I've always thought that was crazy.
Yeah, me too. Hey, Sue.
Hi.
Were you there today?
I was.
I didn't see you.
My park was a lot less eventful, apparently, than yours.
Where were you?
Memorial Park. So kind of out on Market.
Okay.
And all we did, there were a lot of Swisher Sweets.
That's what
St. Louis likes to indulge
in. And like Hormel Beanie Weenie.
Oh, we didn't have that.
A lot of those.
We had a lot of plastic liquor bottles.
Oh, interesting. No, ours was mainly Swisher Sweets and random newspapers and a lot of candy.
Yeah, there's like Fruity Tooty wrappers everywhere.
So did you have an existential break like I did, or you were just fine?
No, because out there, really all it is there really isn't anybody there. So it's just a little bit of trash and, no human interaction except with ourselves.
Did you know how deep the arch legs go?
No, how deep do... Oh, I missed that part.
There's a perfect...
I think they go to the center of the earth.
Mirror of the arch underneath.
What?
Yes.
It's actually called the loop.
It's actually an oval.
That's cool.
Right?
Ooh, that's really cool. Is that true?
No,
probably
not true.
Yeah. You know, they don't show that in the movie.
What's the movie?
Well, you've seen the Arch movie, right? Where they put it up, when you go to the Arch and they show
you
the movie.
I've never seen the movie. I've never been in the Arch.
What?
Yeah, I've never been to the top of the Arch either.
Hey, you're the one that thought there was a mirror of the Arch underneath.
Point. And I've seen
the film.
The
movie.
Yeah. It is the coolest thing to watch.
Making fun of me.
Seriously.
How many shots
so
of Bailey
cool.
in the coffee this morning, Sue?
Well, not much.
She's finding those little liquor bottles and just putting the rest
There's
in
not
her
a
coffee.
There's not a lot left
those
in there.
Most of those are from Sue.
People, I can't believe you haven't seen that film. It is so
I've
awesome.
I've seen it, but I can't remember. I don't remember one frame of it.
I remember a lot of people died whenever they were building it.
No, nobody did. That was part of the amazing thing.
I thought
a
ton of people died.
Neither one of you are right.
Nobody died.
A couple people died.
There are
died.
Hundreds of skeletons on the inside of the arch.
Oh my gosh.
Somebody died.
All squirrels.
But not many.
No. Nobody died.
Wrong.
Yeah, I think you're wrong. I'm sorry.
No. I think I'm right.
She's going in.
Anyone die?
Going in.
What are we betting?
In
13 workers.
There you go.
Oh, wait. Man, she's right.
Ah!
Although if an actuarial firm predicted 13 workers would die while building the arch, no workers were killed.
Ta-da!
During the construction.
Oh, tons have died since then.
Oh, well, that's not my problem. I mean, the construction itself was... that was part of the amazement. And they show these shots of, these guys just standing. Oh, it's just unreal to see.
Do you know this Dave Glover trivia? You've seen the movie where they put that final piece in.
Yes.
I was born at that exact moment.
That's kind of cool, Dave.
God, you'll believe anything. For the love of... How drunk are you?
Well, does anybody have a Swisher Sweet?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
A few minutes shy of 4 p.m. Get your DGS 5 tickets by going to 971talk.com. /DGS Live. I know that a lot of you, I'm the same way. I'm just living a life like you guys are. So if I'm invited to go see El Monstero at Verizon, I may not be sure I can go because I'm not sure what's going on with Phoebe or this or that. So I get it. We're about 60 to 70% the way sold out. So there's still obviously general admission tickets left, but we'll probably sell 100 or 150 the week of. 971talk.com/DGS Live, brought to you by Weber Chevrolet, the presenting sponsor, and my buddy Mike Babcock over on the East Side. Babcock Insurance is sponsoring all the music. So looking forward to it. Going to be fun. Have you guys seen the story about the lady that got up at Easter services with the baby and a gun and started ranting about the rapture and all that kind of stuff? Mm-hmm. Minus the baby, mm-hmm. I'm shooting her.
Mm.
I mean, with what happened in Sri Lanka,
yeah,
and just what's happened just in general, it seems to me that churches are now probably top five, if not top three, most dangerous places to go. You think about it, all the shootings that we've had, there have been more church shootings than like mall shootings or, you know, place of business shootings. If someone gets up on stage, certainly with a gun, but even if they just get up on stage and start ranting, she said, "I'm going to blow the place up."
Yeah.
If someone was there with a handgun and shot her in the chest, I couldn't fault them.
Was she carrying the baby to protect herself? And you know what I mean?
So. That'd be my guess.
Ugh.
I don't know. I think that in this day and age, you act crazy at your own peril. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Like, the old days of, you know, singing a song to a telephone pole are kind of over. Like, if you're going to act crazy around other people, and I'm not saying we go around just picking people off like deer, but I'm going to err on the side of saying, yeah, the person that shot you, who is afraid of you, I'm going to put a big thumb on the side of the scale for them. It's a nutty freaking world we live in.
I don't think that that's got to be. Well, I mean, this was in California, so who knows? The gun laws could be very, very different there. They are very different there. But I can't imagine somebody walks in, minus baby, walks into a church, movie theater, school, whatever, waving a gun, saying they're going to blow the building up, and they get taken out. Can't imagine that's not protect, like, legally protecting yourself with.
And if it isn't, it should be.
No kidding.
Do you think it should be a sliding scale, as in, well, today things are different than they were 20 years ago? Should the laws change to acknowledge that we're under different threats?
20 years ago, that would have been okay.
Yeah.
I think 20 years ago, if somebody would have done that, it would have been okay. Waving a gun, saying, "I'm going to blow the place up."
Yeah. People get shot for much less than that.
Like, anytime someone stands up on a plane, like, you don't be shooting at a plane, and you're not going to have a gun on a plane anyway. But if like, so I'm a 180-pound man. If a 110-pound woman stands up and starts screaming about something crazy, I am putting her ass down as hard as I can. Like, you've given up your rights. You start acting crazy, you've given up your rights, I think.
Tire to the chair and to the play land.
The same way that there's no good reason for you to be in my home. And so if you're drunk and you walk in the wrong home and you think that you're at your house, but you're not, and I wake up at 3 a.m. and find you in my house, this is your problem.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that thing?
Yeah.
The guy with the, I guess he had Alzheimer's or something? When he was naked in someone's house making corn at 3 in the morning?
Yep.
Remember that big kerfuffle?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm shooting you.
You said you'd shoot him.
Yes.
And I have to agree.
If you are cooking corn naked in my house at 3 in the morning, what will you not do?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I didn't see that whole raping my family thing coming. I thought you were so normal because you're cooking corn naked.
I just assumed you had Alzheimer's, so.
But we never really found that out.
When did things change? What changed? Was it 9/11? Would you have shot him 20 years ago?
Could you imagine not doing anything? And then all of a sudden, he's got you tied up, and you're like,
yeah.
What was I thinking?
Yeah.
I guess it wasn't Alzheimer's.
How did I not? The 3 in the morning break in nude coin making should have really been more of a red flag to me. See, the law should be so much simpler than it is. And I think it should be so much more the thumb on the scale for the people who are doing the bad things. I couldn't believe my first week in law school and I learned that you don't give up all of your rights. I really thought that if you were committing a crime, clearly you've given up all of your rights. But little did I know.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.